Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Attention, all black people. Whatever you do, don't go to Florida. It's too dangerous. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Florida, if you step foot in the Sunshine State, you might possibly be exposed to freedom and liberty and good jobs. So nobody wants to see any minority in America exposed to that, according to the NAACP. Wow, what a crazy story this is. By the way, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. But the NAACP has now issued a travel advisory warning blacks, people of color, and gay people to stay out of the Sunshine State. There must be a mass riot underway in South Beach in Miami. It's terrible. All the drag queens running into the street. Cut number one, please.
NAACP has issued a travel advisory for Florida, and it's urging the black community to avoid visiting or moving to the Sunshine State. According to the statement, the advisory comes in direct response to Republican Governor Ron DeSantis's, quote, aggressive attempts to erase black history. And it calls Florida openly hostile toward African Americans, people of color, and the LGBTQ individuals. CNN has reached out to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for comment, but did not receive a response.
All right, so first of all, this is a complete lie. This is not happening at all. Governor Ron DeSantis is not eradicating black history. By the way, can we just get back to teaching American history? Is that possible? Is that actually doable in woke America these days? Who cares about black history or Asian history or white history? Let's just teach American history, the good, the bad, the ugly. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's why our founding fathers called this a great experiment. You're going to try some things, they're going to work. You're going to try some things, they're not going to work. But you're always striving to be a more perfect union. I believe the founding fathers wrote something about that. So anyway, you've got the president of the NAACP. His name is Derek Johnson, who lives in the war-torn city of Jackson, Mississippi. And here's what he had to say, cut number nine.
What they are saying is, look, African Americans and Hispanics are doing quite well here when it comes to running their own businesses and being able to make money here and being able to live decent lives. How do you address that with this new ban?
First of all, that's propaganda language. Over the last several years, it wasn't because of anything he did in policy. Florida, by geography, is an attractive place where people would like to go. But he's fighting the largest company in the state with Disney around tourism. They just pulled out $1 billion. He is minimizing the quality of education by taking away the diversity for children to learn. He has sought to cause harm by saying that every citizen could carry a gun without permit. Those are not business attractive policies. Those are regressive policies that's going to hit a dead end. So you can spend the whatever language you would like to have. The policies that he has put in place are harmful policies to far too many individuals. And I can tell you what Disney has been doing, what we have this call for, it is a trend that's about to pick up, not slow down.
That guy's in charge of the NAACP? Jeez, a loo. What a loser that guy sounds like. By the way, let me ask you a question here. Just throw this question out there, and I mean no disrespect to my hometown or any of the other cities that I'm about to mention here. But do you think blacks are safer in Memphis, Tennessee, or in Orlando, Florida? Do you think blacks are safer in Detroit, Michigan, or South Beach, Miami? We can go on and on, and we can play this game all day long. But the reality is, and I will just say this, Memphis, Tennessee, the deadliest city in America, percentage-wise, per capita, Memphis, Tennessee, where black-on-black crime is off the charts. It's not safe to be black in Memphis. It's not safe to be any color in Memphis. I mean, they're coming after all of us. Before we go to break, I'll have to tell you a story about one of those people we're going to try and help out today on this program. So if the NAACP was really all that concerned about looking for the betterment of black America, you would think they would want to say something about the violence in war-torn Memphis, but they're not going to do that. And you know why? Because war-torn Memphis, just like war-torn San Francisco and war-torn New York City and Baltimore and Detroit, they're all controlled by radical progressive anti-cop Democrats. And they're not going to, that's why they're not going to say anything. You know, the NAACP, they say that they're all about advancing the black man in America, but that's not true. We had a black police officer who was gunned down in the line of duty. There was no statement coming from the NAACP. There were no marches. There were no protests. There were no fundraisers to help the family of the fallen officer. There was none of that coming from the NAACP. So they're rather selective in their indignation. And by the way, you want to talk about erasing history. Why don't you go drive around and see if you can find any Confederate war statues in Memphis these days? As a matter of fact, they went down to one park, Fourth Bluff Park, previously known as Confederate Park, and they replaced a statue of Jefferson Davis with a giant Afro pick. And the handle was shaped like a black power fist. Is that the history that the NAACP president, Derek Johnson, is talking about? Just want to throw that out there. By the way, I want to tell you about a story, and we do need your help on this. And we have a very generous audience. And we have, every now and again, there's a story that just really, I don't know, it just bothers me. And this is one of those stories. There's a guy by the name of John Materna, and he is known around Memphis as Red, the Watermelon Man. Now, this guy's retired, and for the past 30 years or so, he's been selling watermelons from the back of his pickup truck in a nice area of town in East Memphis. Normally, he's at the corner of Homer Street and Wayne Avenue. They say he's got the best watermelons in town. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And by the way, he's one of these guys that he's just a good guy. And if you get your watermelon home and it's not sweet enough or it's not juicy enough, then you can bring it back and he would give you back your money. So anyway, Red the other day has become the latest victim in this dystopian crime wave that's hit our beloved town. And it's made all the more worse by progressive Democrats who are literally letting the criminals out on the streets. So police say that two thugs, show up, they get out of their car, they try to rob Red, and they shoot the guy in the stomach. And they tried to take his money, but it turned out Red was packing two, so he fires back, and the bad guys scoot off like cockroaches, and they're still on the loose. So poor Red has undergone two surgeries. He's facing a third surgery, and it's going to be a long recovery. And over the weekend, some of the family and friends brought out that pickup truck, and they sold the remaining watermelons. Well, we got to help. We got to do something about that. And they've set up a GoFundMe page, and we need to raise some money. I know they had asked for $10,000, and we had made this plea on our flagship station, KWAM. And over $2,500 was raised in about an hour. And so generous, the good people of Memphis. So we need your help. And we're just going to raise as much money as we can possibly raise for Red the Watermelon Man. So if you go to my website, toddstearns.com, you'll see the story about Red the Watermelon Man. And if you scroll down, you will see a link to their GoFundMe page. And we want to help this family out so they don't have to worry about anything other than making sure Red is taken care of. It's really that simple. I've never met him. I don't know him. I never knew about him until this incident happened. But man, are people coming out and they're saying, you know, this is just a good and decent man. And so we have an opportunity to do something. And I hope you do that. So in the commercial break, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. and click on the story. You'll see the watermelon truck photo there. And let's see what we can do. Let's see what this audience can do to help out Red. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to get to politics. Senator Tim Scott now throwing his name in the hat. The biggest question that reporters have, I kid you not, they want to know if he's still a virgin. That they, the Washington Post literally asked Senator Tim Scott if he was still a virgin. And that is apparently a big deal for the Washington Post. Also, Governor Ron DeSantis in back channel phone conversations is now saying that only out of the three people in the race, two could win. And he named the three: Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Ron DeSantis. He says only two of those people could win, implying that Donald Trump cannot win a national election. Do you agree with Ron DeSantis? Do you believe that it is time to turn a page and go with someone like a DeSantis or a Tim Scott as your nominee? Ron DeSantis says Trump can't win a national election. Agree or disagree? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Man, it is just jam-packed today. We've got debt ceiling negotiations. There's a meeting between McCarthy and Biden. Look, McCarthy can't do anything. The House Freedom Caucus has drawn the line in the sand, and that's it. So we'll see how all that plays out. But Biden is just as confused as all get out, and we'll play some audio to illustrate that point in just a moment. But I want to go to the phones here. Let's start in Memphis, Tennessee. Kathy is listening to us on KWAM, the Mighty 990. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind today?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Ron DeSantis, regarding him, I was so excited when he first started because I thought, oh, my goodness, this is the guy for 2028, right? But the first thing that happened was the Lincoln Project endorsed him, and that's also known as the Pedophile Project because that's what they are, all of them. And he accepted their endorsement and welcomed it. Next thing, the Bushes jumped up and supported him and sent a bunch of money. And, of course, he's just thrilled. His idol is George Bush. He would like to be a president like George Bush. Thank you. No, I do not want another Marxist, another hidden Marxist in the White House. That's who George Bush was. George Bush is a Satanist, and everybody knows it. This is ridiculous. While I'm at it, Lindsey Graham, you can't trust him. Everybody knows about the Plato Club, and he's running around pretending nobody does. Gosh, he was a constant regular there. That was young boys. He was right around the corner from the Capitol building.
Well, Kathy, of course, all of this is, I've heard the same rumors you've heard, but we can't substantiate that. So, you know, I get your point. But the issue here is, who is electable in 2024? Is it going to be
DeSantis?
You know,
is not.
You don't think he is?
Not. He's a traitor. Mm-mm. He's not.
So you he's think not. You and think it's Donald Trump then? Donald Trump's your guy.
He's the only thing we have. I don't see that we have a choice on anything. We have at least maybe a choice of surviving four more years. But I don't know. I'll be surprised if they don't kill him, because they hate him so badly. It thrills me. you know, because that shows you everything. But people don't seem to understand, like, DeSantis' whole little morality play he's doing with Disney World. He can't do what he's saying he can do. Disney World is built on land owned and developed by the Pentagon, and they still own it. That's why it's a sovereign city. Like Vatican City, it's a sovereign city. It's a Pentagon thing. Epcot, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, is all of that you'll own nothing and be happy BS, except it's done in beautiful little houses and all this mess.
All right. Well, Kathy, look, I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but I will say that DeSantis is trying to convey that he is like Trump, that he's a straight shooter, that he's willing to do what needs to be done. I think this was an overstep with Disney. You can't go in and order it's like Ted Cruz, for example. Ted Cruz is wanting a federal investigation over Anheuser-Busch. For what? Why am I wasting my tax dollars investigating a privately held company? Why would I do that? Why is it the government's business? If Anheuser-Busch wants to destroy Bud Light and destroy their company because they've embraced a transgender, you know, ideology, fine, let them do that. It's America. They have a right to be stupid. And the same goes with Disney, because if the Republicans can get away with doing this, then you know the Democrats are going to do it. And I don't want to set bad policy and bad precedent here. Kathy, appreciate that call. Again, Ron DeSantis telling folks behind the scenes, only two people can win in 2024. It's either Joe Biden or Ron DeSantis. What say you? 844-747-8868. Let's go to North Carolina. Bill wants to weigh in on the NAACP. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, good to be on your front porch today.
Thank you.
Tim Scott has announced that he's going to jump in the race. How far he goes with it remains to be seen. But maybe he can encourage some of the black neighborhoods that it would be safe to go down to Florida. And if that's not the case, then evidently we've not erased enough history in Florida in order for it to be safe down there for people of color, skin color, to go to.
Well, Bill, again, I don't know of any stories in the news of late that would have prompted the NAACP to issue this travel advisory. I mean, it's really low to hooey. You go down to South Beach in Miami, all you see, wall-to-wall, drag bars, gay bars. Everybody looks like they're having a good old time down there. And look, that's not my scene, but you know what? Under the Constitution, you're allowed to do that. So they're having fun down there. I'm not sure I understand where the NAACP is coming up with this allegation that black people and gay people are being attacked in the streets.
It's just another way for the media to get a rise, you know, shock and awe. Todd, shock and all. That's what they're about. That's what they've always been about. That's what they always will be about until the rapture happens.
And I will just say this, Bill, and again, we deal with facts on this program. It was the Democrats, it was the NAACP that backed a man who boasts about having lunch with known segregationists, the Dixiecrats, back in the day. It was the Democrat Party that stood in the way of the civil rights movement, not the Republican Party. So, again, I know it's an inconvenient truth for a lot of people, but folks need to hear it. And if you ask me, there's no way in the world I'd be having lunch or sharing a bologna sandwich with a racist. That's just not going to happen. But Joe Biden, he's got no problem with that, and he's said that many times. Bill, appreciate the call. We've got a skedaddle here for a break. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. 8868. We've got a great show coming up for you. Some breaking news out of Fox World, where a new policy memorandum has leaked. And man, is it crazy. Fox News going full in on the transgender movement. And they're not against it, they're for it. And we're going to be talking to a senior reporter from the Daily Signal. They broke that story. Also, Greg Jarrett's going to be here, and our good buddy Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals. Stick around, everybody. Hi, Todd Starnes here, and I want to tell you about Calitrin. It not only helps you shed pounds, but Calitrin also gives you an energy boost. I've started taking Calitrin, and I love it. Here's my friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Hey, y'all. That's right. Calitrin is not just for weight loss. I mean, with Calitrin, it doesn't have any drugs, no stimulants, but it revs up your metabolism naturally through rebuilding that lean muscle tissue, so you do experience side benefits like better energy, natural joint pain. It's even great for sleep when you're taking it at bedtime. So it really is a great health supplement that's also going to help you lose weight too. Now, our 90-day supply is where our huge 86% success rate is. So it's not going to be a quick fix for weight loss. It's not going to be a fad product, no drugs, no stimulants, but it is proven successful and it's proven safe even with medication. So you can go on our website, toploss.com, to check it out. And if you have questions, you can also call us toll free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS.
And Elizabeth, be sure to use that promo code Todd. All right, here is Republican Senator Bill Cassidy out of Louisiana, again a Republican, and he is no Trump fan. He never was a big Trump guy, but he was asked about whether or not Trump would win a general election. Here's what he had to say, Cut 13.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is anticipated to announce that he's running for president. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott has filed paperwork to do the same. Former Vice President Mike Pence, likely right behind them. Here's something Governor DeSantis reportedly told donors on a phone call this week. Quote, "You have basically three people at this point that are credible in this whole thing, Biden, Trump, and me. And I think of those three, two have a chance to get elected, Biden and me," unquote. Do you agree with him that Trump cannot win a general election?
Well, a couple things. I don't think Trump can win a general election, but that's a nice way for him to diss people like Tim Scott, who's a pretty formidable candidate. So you just have to take this as a competitor trying to diss others. On the other hand, during the last election cycle, we saw that in all the swing states, almost all, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona, that Trump's the candidates for Senate that Trump endorsed all lost. If you had taken the votes that went to other Republicans and put them together, those Republicans would have won. So I think the president's kind of high-profile endorsement of those candidates actually hurt those candidates, at least in the general election. So if past is prologue, that means President Trump is going to have a hard time in those swing states, which means that he cannot win a general election.
All right, there you go. So the movement now, and if you haven't picked up the narrative, and this is coming from Ron DeSantis as well, is that Donald Trump cannot win a general election. He does not have the votes. He doesn't have the support of the independent voters. That's going to be the narrative coming from the establishment side of the aisle. Now, there's something else you need to be aware of. I'm not sure Trump is going to be picking up a lot of the evangelical vote this go around. Tonight, Ron DeSantis is scheduled to address the National Religious Broadcasters Gathering. They're meeting in Orlando. They did not invite Donald Trump. And the official reasoning that they, and because we've asked and we said, well, what's going on here? Is the NRB making a statement? Because the National Religious Broadcasters, they represent a massive, massive audience in this country. And we were told that the only reason why DeSantis was invited is because the convention is being held in Florida. Well, President Trump lives in Florida, not too far away. But only DeSantis has been invited to address the delegates. And that does make you wonder, okay, where will the evangelical voters be going? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So this transgender stuff is really getting insane. I mean, just absolutely insane. We have a couple of stories over the weekend, and we've got them up on our website. There was a big track and field meet in California, and one of the winners happened to be from the transgender community. So we're talking about high school track and field. There were a couple of different races. So they're getting ready to have their big state meet. So they have these regional meets all over the state. Two boys who say they are girls actually qualified for state. And by qualifying for state, that actually means a biological girl, a teenage girl, misses out. She stays home. So one of the transgender athletes, a guy, and again, these are all men, a guy by the name of Lorelei Barrett, he's very excited about beating the women in track and field, cut number 8.
What does it mean to kind of realize, something everybody wants to do? Everybody's goal is always, if we get to the state finals, that would be great. What does that mean, just to know that you're going to have that chance to, one, compete there, and another, who knows what happens? Who knows what happens?
I mean, it's definitely so cool. I never thought I'd get to this point. When I started a couple of years ago, I was like, 3 miles, I'm never going to run that. And now I'm getting to states, and it's kind of surreal looking back on it, and it's just so cool. And I'm kind of just very proud of myself for being able to work through it every day and get to this point.
I mean, the guy couldn't run with the girls. Or with the boys, so he's running with the girls. Now, there's another guy. His name is Athena Ryan. He plays second in the varsity girl 1,600-meter run, which means he gets to advance to the state competition. There was another young lady who finished behind him, and as a result, by the way, her name is Adeline Johnson, and she's a senior, and as a result of his placement, she lost her spot in the state championships. So again, saying that the transgender movement doesn't really impact biological women, it's a lie. I mean, it really is a lie. So they get everybody up on the platform, and Ms. Johnson, when they announced her name, gave a thumbs down after losing the chance to advance to the state championship. They want these girls to think this is all normal. That is perfectly normal for a young man to run as a woman, and it's not. Police were called because there were a lot of protesters there. They were very upset. They held banners that said protect female sports. They were told to get out. And it's interesting because they ran the numbers, and Ryan finished with a 4:55.91 time. That was his time. If he had run with the boys, he would have finished dead last. But instead, he finished second place and now gets a medal, and he gets to go to state. Dude still got beat by a girl, though. That's got to be kind of embarrassing, right? My goodness. But the whole point of the transgender movement is that men make better women than women do. That's the entire point of the transgender movement. And these boys think they can grow their hair long, and they can put on lipstick and wear high heels, and that makes him a woman. And that is simply not true. By the way, in California, they have something called a Gender Diverse Youth Sports Inclusivity Toolkit. They have a gender identity participation rule. It's been on the books since 2013, folks. And it's very simple. Boys and girls can compete in whatever division they want to compete in. That brings me to my favorite story of the week. God bless the brave teenagers in the great state of Oregon. This is a great story. So in 2021, the Oregon State Legislature passed a piece of legislation called the Menstrual Dignity Act. And here's what it requires: that they've got to put lady products, tampons, the whole nine yards, in every public school restroom from kindergarten to 12th grade in male and female bathrooms. Now, there were some kids at Lake Ridge High School, and the boys, this was happening in the boys' bathrooms. So the boys said, this is nuts. We don't use this crap. This belongs in the girls' bathroom. Why is this in our bathroom? We don't use this stuff. Oswego, Oregon. You folks in Salem probably know where that's at. So anyway, finally, the high school kids said, yeah, we're not, no. This doesn't belong here. So they've been ripping the feminine hygiene dispensers off of the walls, and they've been shoving them in the toilets. And it's been going on for a while, so much so that the school sent a letter home to parents saying, hey, look, you've got to tell your kids to stop taking down the tampon dispensers in the boys' bathroom. And they're asking for parents' help. Meanwhile, people are celebrating this. They're like, good for the teenage boys. One lady says, not all heroes wear capes. Common sense is not dead. This gives me hope for the future. But again, it's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to start speaking truth to the culture. Boys don't menstruate. Therefore, they have no need for tampon dispensers in their bathrooms. Period. Pardon the pun. That being said, by the way, Lake Ridge's principal might just want to have a plumber on speed dial. I'm just saying. Good for you, young man. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. How do we fix this? How do we fix boys participating in girls' sports? I contend that maybe, just maybe, it's time for a full-on boycott. The only way to stop this is for moms and dads and girls to say, we refuse to compete against boys. You say, well, Todd, that may mean somebody miss. So let them miss out. You're not going to win a spot anyway. So do something for the common good. Maybe it's just time we start doing that. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley?
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschetz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's go to the phones here. John in Kentucky. John, what's on your mind?
Hey there, Mr. Starnes. First of all, like Riley Gaines and like you just said, it's time for the women athletes to, you know, sit them out and basically, you know, say, no, we're not going to take this anymore. And also the alumnus from these various universities, they just start pulling their funding. I'm not going to support you anymore because you're messing with Title IX. And then one more thing, Todd. You know how Riley Gaines was basically held hostage in California? If they are so concerned, you know, they are concerned about these young ladies' safeties because they are speaking out. What they ought to do then is just hire armed contractors. And if one of these trans women wants to assault her on their keister, and they will understand, you assault Riley Gaines or you assault any of these women athletes that are trying to stand up for their rights, there will be consequences.
Yeah,
money,
look,
as well as protection for them, Todd.
Yeah, John, these transgender activists are very dangerous people, and we've seen this play out. We saw it happen in Nashville at that Christian school. These are dangerous people, and a lot of them need help. They need medical help, psychological help. They need help. That's what they need here. So if I'm someone like Riley Gaines, you better believe I'm showing up to speeches with armed security to protect me from these nut jobs. John, appreciate the call. By the way, I have a question for you. I was at the Memphis Showboats game over the weekend. By the way, 22-0 crushed the Pittsburgh Maulers, and I just love USFL football. One of the great things about USFL football, by the way, is every game, they bring out the family of a fallen service member, and we honor that family. It's a pretty special time. So anyway, I'm getting my water and my popcorn for the big game, and I couldn't help but notice that once again, the coolers were filled to the brim with Bud Light. Nobody's drinking it here in Memphis. And so I asked the clerks, and apparently they do vending for their vendors for a lot of other events in town, and they were at the Beale Street Music Festival, and they had tens of thousands of people down there on the river. And I just asked him, I said, hey, I'm just curious here, anybody buying the Bud Light? And they said nobody's buying. They said they can't even give it away. They actually tried to give the beer away at the music fest. Nobody wants to drink Bud Light. So the boycott is working, and it looks like it's not going away. I think Anheuser-Busch could very well be forced to go out of business because they decided to embrace the transgender movement. And that brings me to a question. And I'm just, this is a genuine question here, and I'm curious to hear from you why you do this. But there are all sorts of people boycotting Bud Light, but nobody wants to boycott Target. As a matter of fact, when American Family Association recommended we boycott Target, they got a lot of blowback from conservatives. And the reason why American Family Association wanted to boycott Target is because they opened up their changing rooms and their bathrooms to the transgender community. And then there is this. When you walk into a Target, it looks like you're running into a gay pride festival. Target now offering tuck-friendly bathing suits for children. It's part of this year's LGBTQ Pride clothing collection. And it's designed for children. The swimsuits literally have tags on them. We have a picture of it up on our website. And the tags read, tuck-friendly construction and extra crotch coverage. The Daily Mail identified the adult one-piece color block swimsuit, which retails for $40, as one of the tuck-friendly options. They also have T-shirts for children as young as 2 years old. Trans people will always exist. That's what one of the shirts has to say. Gays Against Groomers sent a video crew into one Target and filmed all of this stuff. And they are literally trying to push the alphabet propaganda on children and babies. You can see it for yourself. We've got the video, too. Conservative commentator Matt Walsh featured a video Tuesday of a woman finding the bathing suits in her local Target store. You can clearly see that the bathing suits are available in children's sizes. They also have a number of other products, including a onesie emblazoned with the following words, just be you and feel the love. I'm sorry, but why does a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old in a onesie need to feel your love? That sounds creepy and criminal. There was also a new children's book called 'Twas the Night Before Pride. The activist group Gays Against Groomers posting a lot of this stuff on its Twitter page. And they're calling it highly inappropriate and disturbing. Here's what gets me. How is it that the conservative gay groups are calling for boycotts and a lot of the conservative evangelical groups are running as fast as they can away from all of this? How is that possible? So I'm curious, why is it you folks are willing to boycott Bud Light but not Target? Why is it that Target's stock price is not in the toilet right now? Why is that? I'm just asking. I'm literally just genuinely curious as to why it's okay to boycott Bud Light, but you're going to give Target and the department store a pass. Unbelievable. It's pretty sick. Pretty sick. And by the way, when you go into a Target and you see that and you decide, you know what, this is not for me, I'm not going to shop here, don't just walk out. Go over, talk to the manager. You can be nice about it, but tell them, hey, I'm not going to be spending my money here, and here's the reason why. I'm not going to be supporting grooming babies and toddlers at the local Target. Not going to happen. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, head over to toddstearns.com. We have some great resources for you there. Great stories. Also, free newsletter, free podcast. Folks, these are great tools for you to utilize as we educate and take back America. All right, stick around, everybody. Hour two coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Trust you are doing well today. We got a lot to get to this hour. By the way, Greg Jarrett is going to drop by in just a little while. Also, Congressman Barry Moore out of Alabama and our good buddy Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals. All right, so an interesting story. It's an exclusive over at the Daily Signal, and man, has this blown up on social media. Everybody's talking about this. Somehow, the folks over at the Daily Signal got their hands on some internal policies regarding transgenderism at Fox News Channel. Now, I worked there, full disclosure, for 14 years, over 14 years. So I'm very anxious to hear what our next guest has to say. She is a senior reporter for the Daily Signal, Mary Margaret Olihan, and it was her exclusive. Mary Margaret, so glad you were able to come on the show today.
Hey, Todd, it's great to be here.
All right, dish the dirt, Mary Margaret. What did you find out?
Yes, so we were able to obtain this internal Fox News policy on gender transition. This is in their company handbook that they keep on their workday HR site for employees to access so they can see what the company says on these topics. And this particular part of the handbook, as I said, it's on gender transition, and it allows employees, states that employees are allowed to use the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity rather than their biological sex. So if you're a Fox employee that identifies as a woman and you're a biological man, under this rule, you are allowed to use the women's restroom. You're also permitted to dress in alignment with your preferred gender, and your coworkers must address you by your preferred name and pronouns in the workplace. And that's just a few of the policies that were in the handbook. One of the ones that I found particularly interesting is that they offer to help employees come up with a, quote, workplace transition plan. That's a gender transition, if that wasn't clear. And coming up with that workplace transition plan includes helping employees come up with when they want to start using a different bathroom that aligns with their gender identity, how much time they might need off to go through treatment or surgery. And again, to be specific, treatment, probably meaning medical treatment, like hormonal treatment, and surgery, includes the removal of genitalia or adding on things that you might not have in attempts to become another sex. And so these things were in Fox's handbook, and they're particularly interesting in light of the fact that Fox has drawn backlash for recent incidents that have involved what we would call kind of catering towards woke ideology. And
I want to get to that in just a minute, Mary Margaret, but I want to go back because this is really eye-opening, and I suspect it's going to be shocking for a lot of people. I am not shocked in the least by what you've been able to uncover, but I'm curious about the staff, whoever it was that shared this information with you guys. Did they explain why they were doing this, why they wanted to get this information out there?
You know, I'm not really at liberty to dive too much into what my sources told me, just because we would not want to have misplaced their trust in us. But I will say, if you look at the story and you read what they said, one former producer for Tucker Carlson Tonight said they want you, they being Fox, to think it's a place that supports traditionally conservative values, but in reality, they're pushing this nonsense behind the scenes. Another person told us, This is another former Fox News employee. Fox News devotes hours of programming to attacking woke companies, but ironically, Fox is as woke as the rest of them. That person also said that Fox viewers would be astonished to find out what the company is like.
Oh, it's mind-blowing, Mary Margaret. I was there for a little over 14 years, and the last 3 years is really when they started this. It was after Roger Ailes left, and then it was like they opened up the doors to the whole gay pride movement. And, I mean, Junes were massive LGBT celebrations in the Fox News building. And I'm not sure the average Fox viewer understands what they are supporting when they watch Fox News Channel these days.
Yeah, that's something really interesting that I'm very interested in learning more about that, too. I'd love to know what the average Fox viewer thinks of the internal policies at Fox News, because as we know, Todd, they often spend a lot of time doing segments on woke ideology, on school districts or schools that are pushing woke ideology, or girls that are being forced to compete against biological males on their sports team. And that's pretty contradictory when you look at this internal policy. Now, I should add that there are laws in New York City where the company is headquartered, as well as California, which have legal requirements that align pretty similarly with what's in Fox's handbook. That being said, I reached out to Fox and I said, I had many questions. I said, can you explain why your handbook says that employees can you explain all these different things in your handbook? I got no response. I also asked, has Fox ever pushed back against this? I wanted to know if Fox has ever considered relocating. I wanted to hear the story on whether this has been a problem for Fox or if Fox considers it a problem. I heard nothing. I got nothing. And, you know, there's some who think that this actually goes a little farther than what's required by the city. I mean, this workplace transition plan, that's pretty wild. They're offering to help employees come up with a workplace transition plan so they can transition comfortably at work. And again, to be clear, attempt to transition to another gender at work.
Yeah, it's shocking, but not surprising. And I know that you've also done a deep dive into what's been happening on FoxNews.com, now known as Fox Digital, where it's really sort of, it's already there. I think they were sort of hiding in open their policies on that, because they're always, the stories always refer to the preferred pronouns of the person. And you mentioned that even with Dylan Mulvaney.
Yes, that's something I've noticed for a long time. And I know a lot of other conservative reporters in the movement have noticed it as well. Because this is a really interesting topic, Todd, since a lot of conservative outlets have been looking around and saying, how do we handle this? What's our move? Will we get, you know, demonetized on Facebook or YouTube for saying the truth, about someone's biology? And so everyone's looking around, and Fox News, which is supposedly the, you know, biggest conservative outlet out there, a lot of outlets take their cues from them. And so you look to see what they're doing, and lo and behold, in all of their stories, I don't want to say all, but in most of their stories on Dylan Mulvaney, and I believe in most of their stories on Leah Thomas, they always use she, her pronouns to describe these individuals who are biological males. And that is not a light decision. You know, I believe the New York Post uses preferred pronouns. A lot of conservative outlets don't use any pronouns. Some conservative outlets use the pronoun that matches a person's biology. So this is it's a larger conversation. But when you look at what Fox does, they almost routinely use the preferred pronouns to describe biological males, even in stories that have to do with controversy over that exact thing. And that's really wild. There was one from Fox, I believe it was on Dylan Mulvaney, and it was about backlash over Mulvaney claiming to be a biological woman. And yet over and over and over, they say she, her. And that is, it's a struggle to read. It's confusing. It's not, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And Mary Margaret, I think you wrote in your piece about them saying, do not attack Della Mulvaney.
Yes. So we had another person who currently works at Fox News tell us that after Tucker Carlson left Fox, that the producers that were handling the 8 p.m. slot that he used to sit in, or he used to have his show in, the producers for that 8 p.m. slot were told to basically simmer down on bashing Dylan Mulvaney, because Tucker had been bashing Dylan Mulvaney a lot, and they were just given the directive, stop, no more of that. And that's at least according to the source I spoke with. You know, that's a whole other issue that I would like to learn more about. We didn't hear back from Fox on this, but why? Why no bashing Dylan Mulvaney? Really, I would love to hear the answer to that.
And you also write about this, there was alleged blacklisting. Who got blacklisted and how did that all work? Do we have any intel on that?
Yes. So another person I spoke with said that Matt Walsh had been blacklisted from appearing on Fox News because of his stances on transgender ideology. And we all know Walsh is very outspoken. His documentary, What is a Woman?, that he made with the Daily Wire was huge. And in that he probed the question, literally, what is a woman, and examined the roots of this transgender ideology that we've been seeing. Walsh got a ton of backlash for that, and he was a frequent guest on Tucker Carlson Tonight. He also was speaking out against this June 2022 segment that was on Fox News about a child's transition, and this was put on by, I believe his name was Brian Lenis. Brian, in this segment, is basically praising this child's gender transition. And if you watch it, it's concerning because they pick a American family that looks very standard, you know, throwing a frisbee, and they're praising this child's transition and trying to show how normal it is. That aired on Fox in June 2022, and Walsh was very outspoken about it. And so I'm told after that, that was when Walsh was effectively blacklisted. And I believe he appeared on and off on Tucker Carlson Tonight a couple times, but it was a big fight for the producers to get him on. That's what I'm told. And Walsh told me he was aware of this. He had heard about it, but he wasn't really talking about it. And he had some pretty strong comments to make to us about this. He said, Fox viewers think that Fox shares their values, and it's very clear that that's just not the case. Gender ideology is as far radical left as you can possibly go. They have embraced radical leftism in its most extreme form. And then he had other things to say, which you can read in our story, but he concluded with, if it were up to me, Fox would get the Bud Light treatment.
Hmm. The Daily Signal has the exclusive here, folks. DailySignal.com. Mary Margaret Olihan is the senior reporter and really wrote this terrific piece. Mary Margaret, before we let you go, I'm just curious, based on the conversations you've had with your sources inside Fox, do staffers feel hopeful that this can be resolved, or do they feel hopeless?
What I'm really hearing from people is, awesome story. We're so glad that someone's talking about this. We can't believe that this has been going on for so long. I'm hearing from some people that they hope things will change, but not a lot. I've also been told that the staffers at Fox are generally not super conservative. I myself know some great people that work over there that do excellent work, but I've been hearing that a large majority of the people are just not super conservative, and that's not mission driven.
Well, it's mission creep from the other direction, I'm afraid. And anyway, good job here. Great intel. Mary Margaret, if you find any other intel, just feel free to give us a call. Great work.
Awesome. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Mary Margaret Olihan, everybody. You got to read her work over at the Daily Signal. That's dailysignal.com. And what a crazy story. Okay. We've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Matt Walsh says Fox News needs the Bud Light treatment. What say you? This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Dave is listening to us in beautiful Winston-Salem, North Carolina. WSJS, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
Dave, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Todd, I can't take much more of this Joe Biden guy. He is squeezing me left and right. I'm a hard-working middle-class American who's trying to buy a new home. And have you heard of this new law they're putting into effect where they're going to take about $100 extra dollars from hard-working, decent-working Americans and give it to the lower class?
I have not heard of that one, Dave. What are you referring to?
Well, to get the mortgage and the interest and all that, they're going to take an extra $100 for if you make a certain amount of money and help out on the other end. Now, that's not right and that's not fair.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Thank you. Yes. So this is all part of a plan. If you've got a good credit score, Biden is basically going to punish you, and they're going to do it by taking money away from you and giving it to someone who has a lousy credit rating. It's going to happen.
Well, what can we do to stop this? We can't. I tell you, he might as well at this point in time bend me over and spank me and have me call him daddy, because he is squeezing us middle-class Americans left and right as much as he actually can. And I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, well, Dave, look, I appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. It's true. I mean, what you said is true, and it's not just they're not just spanking us on the mortgages. We're talking about $400 billion in student loan forgiveness, and I'm not ready to forgive anything. I mean, if you are old enough to take out a loan, and you're old enough to sign your name on the dotted line, then you ought to be old enough to take care of your own obligations. I'm not asking you to bail me out, and you shouldn't be asking me to bail you out either. And I don't care if you're buying it. Look, if you go out and buy a house and you can't afford to pay the mortgage, that's on you. Why should all the hardworking Americans like Dave from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, why should he be punished or penalized for your stupidity? I mean, it really is that simple, ladies. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is Congressman Byron Donalds just a few moments ago weighing in on the NAACP in Florida.
This is just really stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Look, I've lived in Florida since 1996 after I graduated high school. I went to college, got married, started a career, you know, lived normal life. Went to church, raised kids, coached sports. You know, yesterday when the Miami Heat, and congratulations to the Heat going up 3-0 in the Boston Celtics, by the way. But when the Miami Heat, you know, were beating down the Celtics last night in Miami, TNT was showing footage of different boats in the water. Mm-hmm. And on a bunch of these different boats are black people having a good time out on the water. I don't even know what the NAACP is talking about. This is silly and it's dumb. It's political. It makes no sense. We should be focused on making sure people actually have the opportunity to achieve, which Florida is actually doing and thriving in way better than other states, let's say New York or California or Washington State. We're doing a significantly better job helping black Americans succeed. And it's not just about me. It's about all the millions of black people that live in our state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Byron Donalds happens to be black. And again, if Florida is such a racist state, why did they elect him to Congress? Why did they elect Marco Rubio to Congress? The list goes on and on and on. So, I mean, if in fact Florida is a racist state, they're not doing a very good job of it. You know what I mean? I mean, geez, Alou. All right, we got to take a break here. Coming up, Congressman Barry Moore from Alabama. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Everybody, good to have you with us. Hope you're doing well. By the way, huge turnout in North Charleston, South Carolina for Senator Tim Scott's big announcement. It is that crowd was really revved up, and Senator Scott delivering a barn burner. of a speech. We've got some audio from that coming up, and we'll be playing that a little bit later on. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
We are doing well, Todd. I hope you are, too.
I am, and I just want to cut right to the chase here. Congressman, why have we not impeached Secretary Mayorkas yet? I'm just curious. A lot of my listeners wondering the same thing.
Yeah, you know, and even early on in Judiciary, Chairman Jordan probably felt that that was the thing we needed to do. But as we started the hearings, I think that now the articles have been introduced, and I'm kind of encouraged. The whip, Tom Emmer, said a weekend or two ago that he needed impeaching. And as Title 42 expired, I think the American people are where we're at now, and most of the country think he needs to go. He's not doing his job. In the private sector, if you're not doing your job, you get fired. I am kind of the CFO and Chief Operation Officer of the 2nd Congressional District of Alabama, and I have a job to do. And so it's to fire people who are not earning their pay. And Mayorkas is certainly not only – I don't think he's earning his pay, Todd. I think he's crippling the nation and hurting us in many ways.
Well, I do as well, and it concerned me early on when I heard from the Speaker of the House when he was actually campaigning for the job, and he said he's seen nothing that would rise to the level of impeachment when it comes to President Biden. Do you share that assessment?
You know, there are probably no doubt with the Hunter Biden laptop, I think his oversight and Congressman Comer and his committees get to the bottom of that. I think there will be opportunities to explore that, Todd. The only downside to that is we're stuck with Kamala Harris. And I know that I think Biden's pretty weak right now, and he's concerning me for the future of the country. But at the same time, we've got Mayorkas. We're looking to impeach him. I'm on two articles. Actually, Marjorie Taylor, a friend of mine, a classmate of mine, introduced four articles last week. I'm on three of the four. I haven't gotten on Biden's yet, but we've got Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, and, of course, Secretary Mayorkas. But yeah, I think that there are certainly possibly, based on the evidence we're starting to uncover with the laptop, that President Biden is probably eligible for impeachment. We need to decide how we want to move forward. I was telling my staff, honestly, if we start impeaching secretary members and the FBI director, that sort of thing, that puts the administration on the heels. And I think in some ways that might be better for the American people right now is to kind of go after the cabinet, go after the people, maybe look into Hunter's situation. Obviously, I think there needs to be investigation to probably arrest there. And even some of our own members. I think Adam Schiff has done some things that we need to call into question. And as we got the Mueller report, I'm sorry, not the Mueller report, but the Durham report. Yeah, we realized that, hey, all of us tinfoil hat-wearing people out here, you know, there's a saying, you're so far right, but we've been right so far, Todd, and I think that's what's showing up with what we're uncovering, and this takes time. We've been in power a little over 100 days now, so I think we're moving in the right direction. Three out of four ain't bad so far on impeachment, and I think we'll continue to move in that direction, and I think what Jim Jordan's doing, Comer's doing, Kevin McCarthy's doing, I think the American people are saying, hey, they're working for us. They're getting the job done. It takes a little time. We want to abide by the Constitution. We want to make sure we got our facts in a row. We don't want it to look political. We don't want it to be like when they went after Trump for just political purposes. We want to abide by the Constitution. We want to uphold the rule of the law, but we certainly do not want to take a knee deep in our own territory.
No, I get that. I will say this, and you know, feel free to convey this to your colleagues. You know, the Republicans had control of the Senate, the House, and the White House during the first 2 years of the Trump administration, and they promised all of these investigations that people were going to pay a price, people were going to jail, and that never happened. You know, and I think a lot of people got they felt jilted, they felt let down and misled, and you know, I think they're wanting to see some action here, especially in light of the Durham report and the findings that this was all fabricated and all the arrows seem to lead to the White House back when Obama was in charge.
I agree. I think it started with Obama, and I think the rapid decline, the move to the left in the country, and the abuse of power within agencies certainly is an issue. And you know, my wife, Heather, who's a fan of yours, Todd, she follows all the news feed and reads all the quotes, and she says people are tired of the sound bites. They're tired of us going, getting a viral moment in a hearing. They want some substance to those reactions, some substantive move from our members and from here in D.C. And so I think you'll see that. I think that we recognize that. And also, you need to understand, the American people, I think, need to understand, and even I mentioned this to Kevin, about 70% of this Republican conference is new since Trump was elected in 16, so it's not a rubber stamp anymore, Todd. We are taking care of business, and this, I think it's great that the American people are sending outsiders here to clean the mess up, and I think you're starting these investigations, actually doing some things that were promised in the past that we're executing on, I think are going to be a result of the American people sending a good group of people here, and we're in a fight. And I think a close majority helps the conservatives within the conference. It allows us to work with Kevin, to be at the table, and that's been good for America.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree with that. And we really are just so impressed with the work of the House Freedom Caucus standing their ground. It would have been easy to throw in the towel and go along. But you guys are standing on principle, and you can't go wrong there. So I am hopeful. But I'm telling you, this Durham report is so devastating for the FBI. I don't see how the FBI can continue on. And I've been one of those saying we need to not only defund, but just completely dismantle and start over. You know, do we even need an FBI? Is this something that can be handled at the state level? You know, I think just about every state has its own version of the FBI.
Yeah, and I honestly do not have a problem with that, Todd. I would love to see us. Andrew Clyde, a classmate of mine, another one of those outsiders that was sent here in 2020 with me and Marjorie Taylor, Lauren Boebert, a bunch of different people that came in. Andrew was just on a news source I saw a while ago, and he's on appropriations, and he was talking about defunding the FBI. And I'm not beyond that. I agree with you. We in the House have the leverage of the purse strings, and we have opportunities through appropriations to cut the money. And that's the only thing sometimes the swamp listens to is you got, in order to drain it, you just cut off the supply of revenue. And so that's an opportunity that I hope we can get done. I hope that the House Freedom Caucus, many of us agree with that sentiment. And good Lord be willing and the creek don't rise, my friend. We're going to try to execute on some of these things that the American people hope we can. And we certainly need prayers. I don't say we've got it all figured out because most of us are fairly new. But I can tell you this, I think things are moving in the right direction for the country, and it's not a minute too early.
Well, I like to hear that news. And, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work you're doing, and please tell Mrs. Moore we said hello.
We'll do it, Todd. Y'all have a great week.
All right, you too now. Congressman Barry Moore. By the way, we've got some audio here. This is we're going to play two clips of audio, all right? So Senator Scott got a little fired up, and you know how you can get a little bit too fired up. Remember Howard Dean? Oh, remember that? Well, Tim Scott had his haw moment in North Charleston. Let's take a listen to the longer clip.
The man I am blessed to call Uncle Timmy, your United States Senator, Tim Scott.
Thank you. Wow. Hello, South Carolina.
Hello.
Wow. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Obviously, I can't dance, as you know that already. So.
Do we know what that music was? I mean, that was a pretty, I like that. That was, I mean, it wasn't the Village People. That's a little refreshing when it comes to the Republican side of things. But what was the, can you play the little snippet there?
Hello, North Charleston!
You know, they're going to play that over and over again. By the way, President Trump, this is interesting. President Trump actually came out and said some very nice things about Senator Scott, while also taking a cheap shot at Ron DeSantis. And here's what President Trump wrote just a few moments ago. Good luck to Senator Tim Scott in entering the Republican presidential primary race. It is rapidly loading up with lots of people, and Tim is a big step up from Ron DeSanctimonious, who is totally unelectable. I got opportunity zones done with Tim, a big deal that has been highly successful. Good luck, Tim. So there you go. Now, let me explain what's happening here. President Trump has a pretty firm policy. As long as you're not throwing punches at him, he's not going to throw a punch at you. But when you throw a punch at him, you better get ready because he's about to lay you out. And Ron DeSantis, almost said the sanctimonious. Ron DeSantis did not learn that lesson. And so they're going at it. And they're going at it like cats and dogs. But that's why Trump's giving Tim Scott a pass. The moment Tim Scott pushes or pokes at President Trump, you better believe we're going to be hearing, "Hello, North Charleston." We're going to hear it like every 30 seconds. Mark my words on this. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I'm just curious, who do you like here, folks? We've got a lot of folks that are jumping into the race now. You got Big Chris Christie. You got Tim Scott. You've got Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy. You got, Ron DeSantis. No, he's not in the race just yet. And, of course, President Trump. Who do you like in 2024? Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Before we go to break, Scott from Conway, Arkansas wants to help us out here with this song. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Good to hear from you again. Good to speak with you again. Sorry about that. That name of that song was Burn Rubber.
Burn Rubber? Oh, that's good to know. I couldn't tell if he was coming in on a motorcycle or what that was all about.
That song starts with a motorcycle, and it's a good song. I think I got it on my phone somewhere, brother. But I'm going for Trump. I wish he didn't say what he said again this morning. He put out a snippet, and you know, but we cringe when you know President puts out something like that. But he's still the man for the job, Todd, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Scott, and I just think the guy deserves a second chance. We just have to make sure, we just have to make sure that he's got the independence coming on. And if he doesn't, then we're not going to be winning in 2024. I mean, it really is that simple.
I agree, 100%.
All right.
With you, Todd.
Hey,
all right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate that. So you see, we have great listeners who know all this great intel. All right, we are going to take a break now, but I am curious, who do you like for 2024? Is Trump still your guy? I will say Tim Scott did a heck of a job getting out there and introducing his campaign. It's a very positive, focused message about making America great again. I thought he hit a home run with this one. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's see what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is...
Oh, what is that?
That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
Hello, North Charleston!
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that old Howard Dean, you just expected him to just spontaneously combust on the stage, just explode. Ha! One of the best moments in political history, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones here. Orlando in Georgia. Hey, Orlando, how's it going?
Hey, that was just too funny to hear you say that. But you done became a nice comedian, and I like that. But, Mr. Toster, the reason why I was calling is I think I'm falling for Trump. I'd rather go back there. Here in the state of Georgia, I want our state to be back red. It's kind of depressing for it to be blue.
Well, it's interesting because your governor is one of the most popular governors in all of America right now. And I really do wish that he and Trump could have mended the fence there and to patch things up. And honestly, I think it might have helped with the Senate races, but that was just a tough race. And Herschel Walker, and I get why everybody thought he was the perfect candidate, but he turned out not to be. And it was tough.
It is, but at the same time, that was Mr. Herschel Walker. He's actually from the town that I grew up in, and that's just a horse of a whole other color there. But I wasn't a fan of that situation there. So, but definitely, I'm sticking to my guns when it comes to Donald Trump, though.
Well, you know what? That is good to know, Orlando, and we appreciate you calling in. And, folks, I am curious to know where you stand. We're starting to get a lot of candidates, and I think this is a great thing. And the debates are going to be lively. And I really do hope that President Trump shows up to debate. Something tells me that he's going to do it. He's right to be suspicious. He's right to be concerned. But you know what? The president is a smart man, and he knows how to go toe to toe with those folks. So he can give as well as he can get as well as they give, and back and forth. It's going to happen. Trust me on that. Anyway, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Paul Shanklin, our good friend, says Tim Scott sounded like Jerry Clower for just a moment. Well, you know what? We will find some Jerry Clower, and we will play that, and we'll let you make that decision. Can we go back and play the Howard Dean again, Dylan? This is my favorite soundbite.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
He just had to let it out. Folks, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, you really can't. But now there can be, so now on social media, Howard Dean is trending because they're comparing Tim Scott and what Tim Scott just did to what Howard Dean did.
Hello, North Charleston!
You know, the campaign people are just, they're backstage right now banging their head on the wall because, you know, that's the soundbite that everybody's going to play. But look, I thought Tim Scott just delivered a heck of a good speech. And if you're looking for a man that really does live his life according to what he believes and what he says he believes, then Tim Scott's your guy. And I think he would make a good vice president for Donald Trump. And I think this is ultimately what it's really all about. These folks are auditioning to be Trump's VP. I think Tim Scott could be that guy. Certainly, he's hugely popular in South Carolina. And I would love to see Tim Scott come to a place like Memphis, Tennessee. And I'd like for him to go into some of these heavy Democrat communities and explain why the Republican Party is the party for all Americans. And I think we could really see a shift there. So based on what I just saw, Tim Scott has now become, I think, the top choice for Donald Trump's running mate, if he wants it. And if Trump wants him to want it, but Trump had some very nice things to say about Tim Scott a little while ago. Oh, we got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show.
To my newborn baby boy, the day you arrived was one of the happiest days of my life. Right up there with the day I bought my RV from that guy on the internet and insured it with Progressive. What a deal. Just know, son, I'll always be here for you. And by here, I mean in the middle of absolutely nowhere. In my RV.
Protect your baby with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show underway. We'll have some more audio to play from Senator Tim Scott's big presidential announcement. Big crowd excited crowd, excited candidate, and we'll keep you updated on those developments. President Trump sending a very nice note. So right now, those two are playing nice. Trump taking a shot at DeSantis in that message, calling him DeSanctimonious. Says DeSanctimonious is unelectable. That's what the president said. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. We'll be getting to your calls in just a few moments. But I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have our good friend from Fox News Channel, author of the new book, The Trial of the Century, which is out. It's coming out May 30th, so you can pre-order it now. Our good friend Greg Jarrett. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm just fine, Todd. Great to be back with you, as always.
You know, Greg, we were since you and I chatted last, Marjorie Taylor Greene announced impeachment articles against Joe Biden, also against Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, and Alejandro Mayorkas. Not sure where all of that is going, but my question, are impeachment articles warranted?
Well, sure. If the standard is the Donald Trump impeachment standard, there's more than enough of a basis and credible grounds to bring impeachment against certainly Mayorkas. I would also include, Joe Biden. I mean, look, this is a guy who was sworn in on January 20th, 2017. He swore under oath that he would execute the laws of the United States faithfully, that he would, secure and defend and protect the citizens of the United States. Just look at his border policies that have done the opposite. He invited people to come here illegally, which is in violation of the law. Penalty is both criminal and civil. And yet he has essentially decided we're not going to enforce the law. The violation of his oath, it's an impeachable offense. Sure, the answer to your question is yes.
So you have a great column, op-ed up on foxnews.com, and you again reiterate what the Durham report actually showed, and it showed Biden and Obama knew the truth of the hoax but kept silent. Any criminal wrongdoing here? I mean, certainly from a moral standpoint, they've failed, but is there anything criminal in what they did?
Well, if you're going to read nothing else in the 306-page report, turn to page 81. In July of 2016, Durham writes, the CIA director, John Brennan, rushed to the White House to brief Obama and Joe Biden about the evidence that American intelligence had uncovered. It had been corroborated, it had been vetted, it was credible, and the agency determined, and I'll quote here, Hillary Clinton had approved a campaign plan to stir up a scandal against Donald Trump by tying him to Putin and the Russians. Now, they determined then, July of 2016, that it was wholly invented by Hillary Clinton. She conjured it up out of thin air, and she did it not only to damage and sink Trump's candidacy, but to distract from her own illegalities in her email scandal and, obstructing justice and so forth. It was the dirtiest trick ever perpetrated in American politics. And of course, the media latched onto it and convicted Trump in the court of public opinion. James Comey lied to a FISA court to spy on the Trump campaign, lied to Congress, lied to the American people. And, there was a 3-year-long witch hunt. The greatest mass delusion in American political history, and it was all Hillary's, cunning machinations.
And I think the argument could be made that this really, really disfigured the Trump years in office. People, and especially independents, I would say, I'm willing to overlook the Democrats here, but I think independents would have been swayed by this. And the constant reports coming out, and yet all this throughout the entire thing, Hillary said nothing, Obama said nothing, and Biden said nothing, even when they knew it not to be true.
Yeah, that's true. As I open my column, I say a silence kept in order to hide the truth is a lie. And, there are therefore plenty of liars among you know, Democrats who knew that the collusion narrative was all a hoax, but they chose to remain mum. Now, that by itself is not a crime, but Hillary's actions were certainly a crime. She conspired with others to deliver to the FBI false statements, false evidence, and it was knowingly false. That is a crime. It's the crime of, you know, obstruction, and it's the crime of conspiracy. You know, if you give knowingly phony evidence to the FBI or any law enforcement, that's a crime, false statements. And yet, you know, she's Teflon. She's never been held accountable for anything in a court of law because she's had so many benefactors who cover up on her behalf. James Comey cleared her of, you know, the email crime she so clearly committed under the Espionage Act. And we also find out from the Durham report that there were four ongoing criminal investigations of Hillary. Nobody ever knew it. It was all covered up. And James Comey made them all magically disappear. You know, if you want to look up the definition of corruption, go to the dictionary. There should be a picture of James Comey and the FBI.
Well, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, our good friend Greg Jarrett from Fox, a new book coming out on May 30th, The Trial of the Century. Greg, a few days ago, we had Senator Marsha Blackburn on, and she hinted that there could still be a possibility that charges could be brought. Is that possible, or has that ship sailed?
Oh, my guess is that ship has sailed. There are statute of limitations involved. Durham, who probably was in the best position to bring such charges against other people, decided not to. And I think he learned his lesson the hard way. I mean, he, you know, brought a case against Igor Danchenko. He brought a case against one of, you know, Hillary's lawyers. And, you know, he did not obtain conviction, mostly because he couldn't find a fair jury. I mean, you try cases in Washington, D.C., and in the outlying area in Virginia, and in a politically charged case involving Donald Trump, among a jury pool that, you know, dislikes him, you know, you can't get a conviction against people who pretty obviously lied.
Well, it's a terrific column you've written, and lest you be accused of being guilty of this, let me be the one to say, well done on using the word vainglorious to describe Jim Comey. Well done.
There are so many sanctimonious, arrogant, pompous, pretentious, but I think vainglorious covers it all.
It's brilliant. You're officially the wordsmith at Fox News Channel. So,
thank you.
real quick here, Jarrett. Let's talk about the book coming out on May 30th, The Trial of the Century.
Yeah, I mean, I really think this is an important book because our cherished free speech rights were at stake. They were at risk. In the trial of the century, the Scopes Monkey trial, almost a century ago. And it contained one of the most important courtroom confrontations between the great defense attorney Clarence Darrow, my idol, and William Jennings Bryan, the great fundamentalist leader, which the New York Times at the time described as the most amazing court scene in Anglo-Saxon history. I obtained the original trial transcript in the archives of the courthouse that still stands, and The Trial of the Century is based on that. It is, I think, a riveting story with so much that was at stake. And, you know, people can, it's available for pre-order, pre-sale online right now, and it comes out in a week.
All right, folks, and you know what to do. Get that on your Amazon or at your favorite bookstore, but get yourself a copy early. Greg, we're going to leave it there. Always good having you on the program.
Todd, thank you so much. Take care.
All right, there you go. Greg Jarrett, everybody, and the new book, The Trial of the Century. And if you haven't studied the Scopes Monkey Trial, it's an absolutely fascinating time in American history. That is going to be a great read. All right. Let's go to the phone chair. I know Patty's been holding on for a while, wanting to weigh in on politics. And again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Patty, hope you're doing well.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Okay, let me say something. I was watching the Tim Scott. All right, you know what? I love Tim Scott. He's a smart man. He's a great guy, nice guy, but not presidential, okay?
You don't think he's presidential?
No. And I was thinking the same thing when you said it before. I had to change the channel. My daughter was going to work. She's like, Mom, what are you laughing about? When you said Howard Dean, I thought in my head, this is an African-American Howard Dean.
Patty, are you talking about this?
Ah! Oh, my God. How could you forget that?
You can't. And you can't unsee it.
I know, but when I heard him yell, I thought of Howard Dean.
But you know, Patty, I mean, if you're not used to that kind of a setting, you're feeding off the energy of the crowd and you're getting riled up and you just let loose. I mean, it could have been worse, I suppose.
I know. And I love Tim Scott, you know what? I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Okay. I had to change the channel because I was laughing so hard. I had to change it. I could not take it no more. I could not take it. And I'm like, you know, it's bad enough we had to watch, you know, we watched the other dimwit that don't know what day it is, and then I turn him on and he's screaming like Howard Dean. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, I still think that Tim Scott is running to be the VP. I think that's
going to be VP for Trump, I believe.
Yeah, he'd be a good guy. They get along.
Well, they better than Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to say, well, another thing, I love Donald Trump, but I'm going to tell you something right now about Ron DeSantis. They say Joe Biden's a puppet. I'm going to tell you who the puppet is in the Republican Party is Ron DeSantis.
Really? Why do you say that?
I think that he's being run by rhinos and by like other people that hate Donald Trump.
That's interesting. I don't think you're wrong. I'm wondering, though, is it the wife? Is Mrs. DeSantis the one that's really pulling the strings? And I've seen the reporting out there. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But if Mrs. DeSantis does not share her husband's ideology, that's going to be a problem down the road. So I think Ron DeSantis needs to figure out, do I want to be Ron DeSantis or do I want to be a puppet for the rhinos? I know he's trying to be Donald Trump 2.0, and that's not working because he's not Donald Trump. Donald Trump only works for Donald Trump.
Right. So I totally agree with you about Tim Scott. I think Tim Scott would make a great VP.
All right, Patty, we're going to leave it there. Good hearing from you as always. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. May I tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile? They're doing some incredible work. Patriot Mobile. .com/Todd is the website. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Patriot Mobile is mobilizing freedom all over America. And by the way, our country's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. So, you know, they share our beliefs and they're doing something about it. They're standing up for the First Amendment, standing up for the Second Amendment. And I love these guys. And we've been with them for a very long time now. And I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile right now. You can use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you free activation. Patriot Mobile's coverage is nationwide, and it is amazing. And they have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and our first responder heroes. PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT, and be sure to use that promo code Todd. I want to play some audio here. This is coming from Nebraska. The woman you're about to hear, she's an unhinged loon. Maybe she's looking for a job on The View. Who knows? Her name is Michaela Cavanaugh, and she loves the trans people. Cut number 6.
We belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here. We need trans people. We love trans people. Trans people belong here.
Wow. These people are nuts, just absolutely nuts, bonkers crazy. So anyway, good luck to you people in Nebraska. Meanwhile, in Mississippi, and I am stunned this is happening in Mississippi, but apparently it's a big deal. A transgender student very upset because the trans person could not dress as a boy. So you got to hear this for graduation. Cut number three.
Me going to graduation and what they asked me to wear would be me telling them that it's okay. And it's not. It would just feel like I was shadowed and tainted by bigotry, hate.
When we looked at that policy, under our impression, my daughter identifies as female. Every day of her life, she dresses in feminine clothing every day of her life. He also said that the kids needed to have on their Sunday's best. How is that her wearing her dress, not her Sunday's best?
All right. I don't know who the child's mother is. That was the child's mother. I don't know her name, but she's a moron. And quite frankly, this woman has no business raising a child. But the damage has clearly been done. So let me explain this. Just because your child wears a dress does not make that child, does not make that little boy a girl. It simply doesn't. And if you think that, then you are not just a moron, you're a pinhead. So a federal judge upheld a school board's decision, and the school board had decided very simply that boys dress like boys and girls dress like girls. They have a dress code. For graduation, male students have to wear a button-down white shirt, a tie, black pants, and black shoes. That's it. And so this child wanted to dress up. This boy wanted to dress up like a girl. By the way, that's not the real accent. That's not the real voice. Oh, I feel very violated because I can't dress like a girl. You see how they do it? I mean, it's not real. It's not real. So good for the federal judge. Good for the school. Get therapy. That's all I can tell you. Get some therapy and speak like a man, for crying out loud. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. In fairness, Dylan, maybe he was wearing a girdle, and that would cause you to hit the high notes on Amazing Grace. Okay, I'll take that into consideration. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This Monday edition. Let's head over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend Charles Thorngren. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Legacy Precious Metals. Folks, I'm telling you, when I need to buy precious metals, that's the place I go to. LegacyPMInvestments.com is the website. LegacyPMInvestments.com. Charles, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well. How are you, Todd?
Doing good, thanks. Let's just jump into this. You know, Charles, we've been hearing and we've been covering the debt ceiling conversations, the debate for the past month or so now. We're coming up on the deadline. We understand that Biden and Kevin McCarthy are meeting today. But I think it's interesting. I'm reading some reports that gold prices could actually go up as the debt ceiling troubles move on.
It's true. You know, one of the important things to know about the debt ceiling is that it doesn't reduce our debt, right? What the Republicans are trying to do is to cut out some of the pork, but we're agreeing that we're going to add to our debt. And that's the key thing people need to focus on, is that we will be having more debt after the meeting, even if we don't default. So that's a key thing that most people don't tend to remember.
And the other part of that is the debt ceiling is going to increase, but with that increase, at least the option that was approved by House Republicans, there are going to be some significant cuts. And we've, you know, look at a perfect world, we wouldn't be increasing at all, and we would be cutting a lot. So I see this as a pretty doable, workable compromise.
Absolutely. It has to start someplace. At some point, you have to begin to remove that excess waste and get it out of the process. We do need to increase the debt limit, but we don't need to just spend money haphazardly.
There's just so much going on right now, Charles, and a debt ceiling aside, I mean, there is a lot of volatility out there. We have no idea what's going to be happening with Russia and Ukraine. I think the bigger concern and maybe the greater threat could be China and Taiwan and the United States getting into a shooting war with the Chinese. What sort of an impact is that going to have on the economy if, in fact, we find ourselves in a war?
You know, that's a great question, especially a war with China. Understand that most of our products are made in China. So if we go to war with them, we now have another supply chain issue. Increases the prices of things, except it's not, we won't be waiting for the product to arrive. We'll be waiting to replace the supplier. And we know that it takes too long to suddenly turn production on here in America. We've already transferred jobs overseas. So you would have to start that process over again. Wars create debt. We'd lose a trade partner. And one of the significant things about China is they hold a lot of our debt. If we go to war with them, if they hit the market with our debt, you see a collapse begin to form in our dollar.
Charles Thorngren with Legacy Precious Metals on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Charles, all of that to say that we cannot put all of our retirement funds in one basket. We've got to diversify, which is why we're big supporters of Legacy Precious Metals, because you actually have protected so many retirement accounts by getting people to invest in gold and silver. How did you do that?
You know, we really did it by focusing on our customers. We know the product. You know, I've been in metals for a very long time. I'm familiar with the economy. But you have to put it in a way that people understand it and you help them. And that's what we focus on doing. That's why when people call, we take the time to understand what their concerns are and how we can best help them. That's the key principle, to help people so that they can protect themselves.
I mean, I've had even members of my own family. They were with one company for, I think, 30, 35 years, retired, and the entire retirement account was based on that company's stock portfolio. And when it went belly up, well, guess what? You know, it really affected a lot of people, and they didn't know about diversifying. And so that's why it's so important to make sure that you've got a plan going forward. So if the stock market goes south, if your investments take a tumble, then you're going to have gold and silver there to protect you during those shortfalls.
I agree. There's never been a more important time than to have some precious metals than right now.
And from the young person perspective, we have a lot of homeschoolers, a lot of college kids listening to the program today, Charles. It's never too soon to invest, but one clever way is maybe to get involved in collecting coins and purchasing coins. And you guys have a really nice collection of gold and silver coins.
It's a great way. You get a younger person and you bring them a coin that has some history to it. It has some story to it. It opens up the conversation to how you can protect your money by using precious metals, but by opening up the conversation of what has value. It's an easy way to make that transition and have that economic talk with your children.
All right. So, folks, again, if you're interested in, you know, getting information on how to diversify your platform and prepare for retirement, go to legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. And you can find information about the gold and silver IRA and also the incredible coin collections that they have at Legacy Precious Metals as well. And finally, Charles, before we let you go, this free gold guide that you guys have, I love this because you literally walk people through. It's not about just making a sale. You want to help and educate your customers.
That is our most important thing that we can do. When we look at metals, we look at metals as a way of helping protect America. And we do that one individual at a time. So the guide is great. But again, like you said, it's not the sale. It's the education. It's the protection we afford each individual. That's what's important to us.
All right. So again, folks, legacypminvestments.com. I love these guys. They're doing incredible work. legacypminvestments.com. All right, Charles, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
It's my pleasure. It's great to hear from you as well, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Charles Thorngren with Legacy Precious Metals. And the coins are pretty cool. And especially if you're your graduation time here, you're looking for a neat gift to give someone who's graduating high school or college, maybe get them some of these beautiful gold coins. They're absolutely breathtaking. I'm a huge fan of the American Buffalo gold coins, and they have some great, great prices there. Again, at legacypminvestments.com. Before we go to the break, I want to go to the phones here. Chris in North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there, wants to weigh in on dress codes at high school graduations. Hey, Chris, what you got for us?
Well, hey, Todd, how are you? It's so nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
I just don't understand. To my way of thinking, if a guy's a guy, a guy's a guy, and a girl's a girl. I don't understand. I don't know if it's a mental illness or if these guys are really pedophiles. To me, it's a mental illness, but I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But the guy that wanted to wear a dress to his graduation, what I read and what I saw on the internet says that the school's policy has to go by what it says on each person's birth certificate.
Yeah, that's right. So that's they don't mess around in Mississippi, Chris. I mean, it's pretty straightforward in that state. And you know, when I graduated, Chris, the guys had to wear a certain color gown, and then the girls had to wear a certain colored gown. And I don't recall there being a big problem with that.
Well, something's gone wrong. Everybody's going wacko. I don't know why, how. And these guys that wear a dress and go to the library or a school and straddle a little girl's lap, what, is it that way? Is that their way of getting aroused? So are they really a pedophile?
Look, Chris, these are all valid questions. You know, that, and I've got a new book coming out, and it'll be hitting bookstores around the first of the year. And I asked that question in the book. Why do these men in the dresses and in drag, why do they want the children at their performances? Why is that? Nobody has answered that question. Nobody asks the drag queens why it's so important that children be allowed to attend these sexually provocative performances. And I contend that this is all part of the grooming mechanism.
I don't agree. And I read an article about a school in Nebraska, I think it was, where the teachers asked the girls if they wanted to go to an art meeting after school. And when they got to the meeting, they were handed stickers and flags and all kinds of LGBTQ stuff and transgender stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And they would ask the girls, well, did you ever feel like you wanted to be a boy, or who are you attracted to? And at the end of the meeting, they said, do not tell your parents about this meeting. Well, this one little girl, she immediately told her parents when she got home about the meeting. They pulled her out of that school immediately, signed her up to a Christian private school. And the school reported the family to social services, and they had an investigation because the little girl wasn't in school. Hey, she was in school, just not your school. I'm sorry. Y'all are sick.
Indeed. All right, Chris, we're going to leave it there. Good hearing from you, and thanks for listening to WHKP. All right, we do need to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, some pretty exciting news in the world of cable television. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax. After Tucker Carlson got fired, the Eric Bolling Show up over 200% in the ratings. And they're crushing CNN right now, folks. Every evening, a powerful lineup at Newsmax. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant. They just can't be beat. Americans are tuning to Newsmax for the real news you can trust. And tonight, Eric is going to be revealing the truth about China, Hunter Biden, and President Biden's family. So be sure to watch Eric Bolling tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel. You can get Newsmax on all major cable systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. That's what I did. And you can start watching anytime, anywhere. So make the switch to Newsmax today. And tell your friends, because Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, let's get to the phones. We can squeeze a couple of calls in here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Maine, WLOB. Steven wants to weigh in on Bill Cassidy and his comments about Trump. Hey, Stephen, what's going on?
How are you doing? I get to talk to the class act one more time, so here we go. Bill Cassidy made a statement, and I just wanted to see if a lot of people recall, back during the midterm elections, Mitch McConnell had, pulled money from the folks in Arizona and Pennsylvania to pour millions of dollars into the Alaskan GOP candidate Murkowski. He ran ads against Kelly Shibata, I think that's how you pronounce her last name, entirely against the Alaskan GOP Republican Party. He did the same thing in Wyoming when they were using a super PAC and trying to put in ads and everything else to get Liz Cheney back into office after the Wyoming GOP was supporting another candidate. And my point is, Todd, that you really got to know who these people are and stuff, because the fact of the matter is I think Tim Scott is a great gentleman. I think he has a good charismatic personality. But at the same time Mitch McConnell was doing this, they took a little trip down to Texas to meet the Bushes. One of those gentlemen was Tim Scott. One of them was Senator Corson. One of them was Mitch McConnell. One of them was Karl Rove. I believe the other one was Paul Ryan, but I'm not sure on that one. But the point is, and stuff, these some of these senators that make these statements, you know, especially when they were, it was indirectly, you know, sort of tied to Trump. The fact of the matter is some of these candidates didn't have a shot. And if it wasn't for Senator Rick Scott coming in at the last minute trying to pour money into the folks in Arizona and Pennsylvania, it would have been worse. It was McConnell, the GOP Republican leader, that caused that. And that's what I wanted to tell you. And by the way, you're still a class act. I'm still listening to you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Stephen, and thank you. Look, I don't know where Tim Scott's going to fall on all of this. I know that Trump likes the guy. They have not had any back and forth, and we'll see how all of that plays out. But, yeah, I do remember McConnell taking money away from some of those key races. I mean, no doubt that he put his finger on some of those races, and as a result, we lost some seats we should have gotten. Mitch McConnell does not want a majority of Republicans in the Senate. He doesn't. And the reason why is because it would give Donald Trump an advantage. And their hatred of Trump is so great that they would rather have the Republicans be in the minority than to give Trump an edge. And that's one of the reasons why I think McConnell played the way he did during the 2022 midterms. And keep in mind, the Republicans barely won the House. And again, I don't think they were meant to win because they hate Trump that much. Let's go to Robert in North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm a retired Marine Master Sergeant, ex-Vietnam veteran, and I just want to say that I'm tired of all these people selling us out. And right now, we need somebody that won't be bought out, which would be Trump, and then I'd like to have his running mate to be Trump Jr., because they don't owe a damn soul. And all these other people are owned. Like DeSantis, he's owned. Everybody is owned right now by somebody. That's where they get the money to run. Trump doesn't own anybody. Nobody owns him. He can do what he wants to. And we need to get this thing going so that we can get somebody in there and stop the crap that's going on up there. Right now, everybody is selling us out. We've got men and women that have fought and died for this country that trying to get rid of communism and not have it here. And that, what have we got? We've got communists coming in here. Just like the Marine Corps. I used to be a drill instructor down there. Right now, they're doing away with the WM training, and they're putting them with the men. Now, you tell me what kind of men we're training if we got women in there with them. That ain't too hot. And that's all because of our woke generals. It started with Obama. And we got to get this stuff out of here.
Well, Robert, I know you're good people. If you were a master sergeant there in the military, those guys are hardcore. And I'm with you. I am really concerned about our military right now. And I'm not even sure, based on the reports we're getting from some of our members of Congress, if we're capable of fighting and winning a war right now.
From what I've seen, we're not.
Wow.
If we can't win it with a computer, we're in big trouble, because we have no men anymore, hardly. They're all little girls.
Mm.
And, you know, you got a few people that go in there. Mainly the people you got that are men are the older military and your police force and stuff like that. But these young guys that are going in, this all a woke military, and, you know, it's like when I went through boot camp or when I was down there, you know, the only ice cream they got was in the mess hall once in a while. They didn't get cakes and cookies, and they didn't get leave, and they didn't get all this. They stayed there, and they worked their cans off, right?
Yeah.
We put them through hell. We put them through hell to make men out of them. Now, they just do just about any damn thing they want to. You know, if they don't like what's going on, they got a timeout card.
Robert, we got to leave it there. I want you to call back, because I want to have a conversation with you about what's happening in the military, and I think you've got a pretty good peg on things. Robert, thank you for calling in. Although, we gotta run, but you call us back. Folks, been a good day. Be good, America.
Take as little as 3 minutes to see if you could save on motorcycle insurance with Progressive. Come on, you've spent more time than that trying to name your bike.
How about the Crusher? I guess it's not really crushing anything. The Silver Bolt? No. Oh, what about Pepper? Mysterious. Is it a pet or a condiment? Surprise! It's a motorcycle. No, that's stupid.
Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.